Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I am your host, Joseph Ward. As always, ride with me is my home guest, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Always remember that the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC, and PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And as always, as I say, for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. Look around the website. You might even see my face. You might see Pat's face. Who knows what you're going to see on the website. And that tab that says the code, and so you click on that to learn more about the codes of conduct. And there's also a tab that says more, store, involve members. Click on all the damn tabs. PACTSINC.org. Also, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, because not only can you learn more about us, myself, Pat, Jamie, and you can also learn about the new shows that we have coming up, learn more about the incredible guests that we've interviewed, because we have, Pat, you have a new show coming up called Lessons from the Stage. We have our ladies show, which is Tea Time Black Women's Talk. Of course, you know, every Monday at 9:30, make sure you catch Office Hours with Professor Paul Tone Jones. Make sure you click on the tab that says Office Hours so you can see the live show. And that's all I can think of. Right. Oh, yeah, make sure you catch The Fix. Make sure you catch my other show, The Fix. So go to the Freedom Train website, look around, get intrigued, learn something. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like our Freedom Train page. Subscribe to the Freedom Train Network's YouTube channel. And make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast on iTunes and Google Play. That way you can get episodes coming directly to your phone. And you can be funky fresh. Ain't that right, Pat?
Yo, I'm a little upset because you cut me off and I was in a freestyle.
All right, go ahead.
I ain't got no beat. It's too late.
Real MC freestyle without a beat. Real country people going to eat pig feet.
I'm a New York MC.
See, I'm from down south, you know, quiet as a mouse. And y'all, but that really don't stop these words from coming out my mouth. Because I'm freestyling and getting down on my thing. And everybody say, who come down to be like James? I ain't brown. I'm body. Who can stop me? Ooh, Pat, you ain't ready.
Apparently, neither is the internet connection, because you was breaking the phone up. So.
So I guess the guy telling me it's over, huh?
Yeah.
Forget you, dog. What's
so,
up?
Before we get into the show today, and we got a good one, we're going to be discussing everybody's favorite first lady and some of her comments.
Shelly Shell.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to pull something out of my ass real quick, because I was browsing earlier, and, you know, staying informed, you know, because I listened to NPR, and in the words of some white comedian that I heard earlier this week when I was listening to Stand Up, that makes me better than y'all. So,
right.
They
was Is this sanitary?
Is what sanitary?
What you about to say, because you say you're pulling out your ass. So
Yeah. No, I wash my hands. So apparently, and this is just going to be real quick, we ain't going to spend too much time on it, but apparently, yesterday, it was announced that the California chapter, the NAACP, is pushing to remove the Star Spangled Banner as the national anthem. They said the removal of the Star Spangled Banner, the direct quotes were, "We owe a lot of it to Kaepernick," said the chapter president, Alice Huffman. I need to look her up and find out if she's black or white. "I think all of this controversy about the knee will go away once the song is removed." And I read that, and I kind of made my head explode a little bit inside of my head.
What? Why did he need? Why did he take a knee? Why did he take a knee? So we just going to ignore all that and just focus on the knee.
Hey, like I said.
I'm sorry.
It made my head. Oh, no, she black. Okay, I'm sorry.
What's her name again?
Alice Huffman.
Alice Huffman.
Alice Huffman.
If you just take away the knees, everything is okay. No knees.
Yeah, I just think it was interesting that out of all of the things they could have done, you know, she called the national anthem racist and anti-black and started in the third stanza and all of this, you know, all of the stuff they're talking about.
That was regular stuff, right?
Addressing the underlying issue. They're taking an issue with the national anthem now, which is a step further. You know, now it's not even just the flag. Now it's your national anthem as well. And anyways, I just thought that was an interesting development to see how this whole NFL protest thing keeps twisting and turning. And
yeah,
the,
you know,
the cause
I,
of it, black people keeps getting pushed further and further to the back of our minds.
Yeah. I keep talking about that on the fix. Every time I talk about it, I remind people that what the original issue is and why it's important to have your own media pushing that positive propaganda, because we're not controlling the narrative, and that's why it keeps spinning and spinning and spinning out of control. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So moving on.
Shelly Shell.
America's best first, most beautiful first lady ever.
She said it.
She can't be the first lady ever. Alright. Anyways, disregard. So.
She the realest. Let me just say she the realest.
She the realest. Shelly Shell was at the first ever Obama Foundation Summit in Chicago earlier this year, this month. And she was talking about raising women, raising girls to be independent, strong women. And the conversation got shifted onto how men are being raised, how boys are being raised. And what she said was, basically, we raise our girls to be strong and to be independent. And it seems that at times we raise our men to be... I'm paraphrase here, soft as hell.
Right.
So she's saying we raise our girls to be strong, we raise our men to be soft and entitled, and then we get what we got. We're paying for it. And it's an interesting point that's been made by several different people throughout history. Just in the past few years, I've picked up more than a few articles.
A lot of men have said, but
yeah, that have said the same thing, yeah. But since Shelly Shell has said it, as with all things Obama-related, especially Shelly-related, it carries more weight. We get into this growing discussion. The discussion was had in the Essence Post, and I've seen it since reverberating online. I've seen it.
Yeah, I got the post up right now, so I'm looking at it.
I've seen various discussion comments in various groups on Twitter, on various other social media outlets. Apparently, this discussion is being had on a deeper level than it's ever been had before. And we have Shelly Shell to thank for it. What you think about that, Joe?
Man, I am excited that she blew the lid off of this, because I'm going to be honest. All right. My mother was the primary parent for me and my brother, and I know one of the things that she would remind us is that we're men, and men have a certain responsibility in society, and we have to be able to put ourselves in the best position to thrive and to be the best men that we can be. And my mother did her best to put us around positive men who could reinforce those messages that she was saying. And my mother's message held some weight, because she also grew up in a household with eight men, and the primary caretaker was a woman. So somebody with coming from that, and also when I'm out in the community, I'm not going to lie, I agree. I think a lot of these dudes, these little boys, these dudes, they are soft. Like, I'm so sick and tired of grown men who really don't have the mindset to take care of themselves, as if, like, nobody really bothered to teach these grown men how to feed men, how to take care of themselves, how to be self-sufficient, how to be assets to their community. I mean, I agree. I think a lot of these men, not all women, especially not all black women, are raising these type of men. We know that. But there are, to me, I think there's a large number of black men who are raised to be soft. I do agree with it. So that's my position. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. I just didn't know how to get it started. So thank you, Ms. Obama.
Well, you know, it's an interesting perspective. Like I said, one that's been covered before, and there are a bunch of different responses to the statements. Me personally, obviously, I agree as well. I think that's the need for balance. One of the phrases you use is, you know, the exact phrase that I often use, which is, you know, men raise their sons and love their daughters. Women
right.
raise their daughters and love their sons. And that's why there's
right.
a need for balance. Not in the household per se. If you can have it in the household, great, but in the rearing of a child, there needs to be balance.
There needs to be balance. And we need to get the energy from both.
Right. And not all parties have to be present in the household, so that's where you run into a couple of the other splinters and a couple of the pushbacks to this particular discussion, which, you know, the primary one would be, well, the daddy ain't around, so I'm doing the best I can do. Why are y'all targeting me if the daddy ain't there and there ain't no male role models to instill in this boy what it means to be a man?
Well, and to that, that is a factor. That is a factor, but that's not always the case across the board, because you and I both grew up with other boys who their mother was their primary parent, if not the only parent, but the mindset and the ideas of them and raising their sons is, I'm raising a man. So I'm not going to, I guess you could say, stunt his growth into manhood. I'm not going to give him skewed ideas of what being a man is. I'm not going to be soft on him. And I'm not going to let this young man just get over. Because there was, in my household, there was no idea of, well, you just a boy being a boy. Boy just being, but that was no idea. That was no idea in my household. It was a conflict in my household. And like I said, a woman raising boys, it was real accountability. Like, of course, my mother could not raise men, but she had a good idea of what men are, because she grew up around it. She had the idea, but at the same time, she did, as you said, that second piece, that wherewithal to understand how that male element comes in. But at the same time, there are many, many, many factors into the man not being around. But just because the man isn't around, I still think that there are, that goes into the mindset, the culture, the norms, and all those things that specific parent has, and the ideas that parent has towards rearing children. And it's individualized per person, but sometimes you have people who come from from similar backgrounds, similar mindsets of what men are, and that's how some of those men and those cultures are raised. Of course, we know it's not across the board, but it's there, and it's, to me, I think it's a large number that's there. I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I think that when it comes to being a single parent, I think you have a responsibility, and it might not be one you want, but it is one you have, of finding someone of the opposite sex that can provide that alternate energy. So if you're a single mom, you have a responsibility to find some sort of positive male influence for your child. And if you're a single dad, you have a responsibility to find some sort of positive female influence
for
your child. And I think that's something that's glossed over. But to the other end, you also have to resist just like, well, I shouldn't say just like, but as a single dad, I raising three boys when I was a single dad, I had to resist the urge to kick their asses all the time and find the desire to love them, if you will.
Right.
And I think the other end, if I had a daughter, I would have to resist the urge to love her all the time and find the desire to kick her ass every now and then. And I think that same thing has to be said for single moms, especially in the world we're growing up in today, where, you know, it's so vicious and everybody's so concerned with black males and this, that, and the third. And I'm not saying they shouldn't, but as a single mom, you have to resist the urge at times to protect your son.
And you have
to beat your son ass and to force him into situations.
Make him accountable for shit.
Right, right. You're going to have to force him, put him in situations that are going to put him in a risk that you calculated, put him in some measure of danger, danger that you've calculated, not life-threatening, but at least maybe life-changing. You're going to have to find the desire to back off and let the world mold him. And I think that that is something else that's not really being spoken to when we speak about, because when you're talking about single moms, there is this umbrella, especially when it comes to raising sons, there's this umbrella of untouchability. You can't be critical about them, and therefore you can't really correct any of the shortcomings that we're seeing from this generation of men who are growing up being their mom's boyfriend, being the man of the house at the age of 9 or 10 or 8 or 6, and coming out into a world and bumping into a woman that, go ahead.
No, and not to cut you off, but what you're saying. If we can point out some of the things that is happening, just like Ms. Obama said, we raise our boys a certain way and then we end up paying for it. That's reality. Like, that's reality. So at some point, it has to be looked at as you have to look at the manner in which some of these young men are being raised. Like, it's like for instance, this one young man I was attempting to mentor. He is the second oldest of like five. The mother is she raising, but she has a boyfriend in the house. But she's looking for a mentor. But the way she raised boys is to have fun. Like, I'm not saying you can't have fun with your kids, but you can't have fun with your kids after they just messed up. Like, there's a way to, like, discipline has to be in there. Like, you have to, with young boys, you got to let them know that, hey man, I'm in charge. Like, I'm here, I'm in charge, and I'm helping to raise you in the world that's messed up and that's aiming at you. And I think that's one thing we can't do is we can't hide the reality of the world from these young black boys. These young black boys need to understand from an early age what the world has in store, not to stress them out or not to create anxiety, but to help them be able to deal with stress and anxiety in the long run. Because we've taught them healthy ways to cope, well, not just cope, healthy ways to exist within this world. And it has to be looked at from all angles, not just the mother angle, but it has to be looked at from all angles if we are so unhappy with the state of black men. Like, that has to be looked at. Who's raising the black men that we're unhappy with? That question has to be answered and asked. Asked and answered, rather.
And now moving in that direction, we have to ask the follow-up question, where the hell are they motherfucking daddies at?
Exactly. Exactly. And I told you this, I have a joke here in my town. I say, I think I found all the missing daddies. They on the corners. All these corner stores that you see are the old men. That's where all the missing daddies are. Oh, they're on the corners. But that's a real ass question though, Pat. Where are the daddies?
Well, I think,
and there are many ways to look at that too.
Yeah, there are a bunch of different angles you can take on that question. One, I really think like this conversation is a lot deeper than we like to have it, because people often like to stop at that little 70% of black children are born in single mother households. And that's usually right. where the conversation dies. And from that, we extrapolate that that means that 70% of children are born without daddies. And it's like, wait a second, that's a...
But
that's kind of a leap in logic right there. That's not...
Right, but if 70% of children are born without daddies, the first question should be why?
Well, before we even go there, like, you know me, I'm a firm believer in, like, you got to define stuff. So let's look at this statistic. What does a single-parent household mean? Well, are there statuses mm-hmm. out there other than single? Yeah, married. Anymore? No. So basically...
So if you're not married, you're single.
If you're not married, you're single. I can name out about 20 people right now that are cohabitating with
single.
A boyfriend that got kids
yeah.
that would be declared by census status single parent.
Single parent. Right.
But there's a man in
that
the
house. That makes sense. That makes sense. But see, but that goes back to what I was saying. That does help to break down that why.
Right.
Because it sheds more light on everything because okay, me and my woman been together 20 years, we just not legally married, but we've been together 20 years and we have a very healthy relationship. But
right.
we consider single parents.
Now, if you look at, there's a book written called All In by Josh Levs. And in the book, there's a chapter, called How Black Dads Are Doing the Best of All. But there is still a crisis. And there is still a crisis. But he points out in the book that there are 2.5 million black fathers living with their children and 1.7 million living apart from them. Now, if you just take that statistic off face value, which I haven't been able to find the source of that statistic, but if you take that statistic, if that statistic is accurate, then that actually means that there are more black fathers living with their children than there are not living with their children. Think that the number
but I think we've covered that before. Didn't we cover that before?
Well, what we covered before was a CDC report back in 2013 or 14, I think it was, that said that out of all fathers, black men were actually doing the best. Out of live-in fathers or live-out fathers, fathers that don't live in the same house, black fathers were more likely to be involved with their children than any other racial demographic in America at that time.
Okay.
So that this one is saying, no, in fact, black fathers are in the home. The other one was saying, look, in the home or out of the home, the shit don't matter. Black fathers are doing better than everybody else.
Right.
So you run into both of these situations where, and in one of those CDC reports, I think black fathers out of the homes were still more involved with their kids than white fathers in the home. And one of the aspects, they monitored them on several different aspects. So even that was, I think it was like reading to your children or something like that. But even that was interesting. So we run into this discussion of where are the dads, and that's a whole deep discussion right there of, okay, well, where are the dads? Well, first, are they missing? Well, there are a sizable portion of them missing, yes. Consider the fact that if a man has children from more than one woman, he can only live in the house with one of them. So
right.
if I'm a man and I have children from two women, then I just created a disparity in the statistics. I'm living in the house with one.
Because I can't. Right.
Right.
I can't live in both houses. So therefore, one child will not get all of me like they should because I'm not in the home. So that leaves a little a space or a little void right there in their rearing because I'm not there like as much as I can be.
Right, I'm not there as much as I could be, and that's not to say that father still isn't meeting his responsibilities, but that is to say from a statistical standpoint, there is one
excuse
child with a father in the home, and there is one child without a father in the home, and that adds to that 70% of children are born without a black father in the home. And I think the last statistic I looked at and I could be wrong on this one, but I'm going to say it anyway, and y'all can blast me if I'm wrong. But I think the last statistic I looked at said something like 40% of black women have children by more than one father, more than one man, which means that number alone just boost up the statistics of fathers, of children born in the households without fathers. So all of these get to be real complicated, but they all dial into that statistic that we love to parrot when we say that black fathers aren't there. So you have those things, and then you have another component, which I don't think is a large component, but I do think it is still a component. And that's those fathers that simply aren't allowed to see their children. And I know quite a few of those.
That's a big component. That's a big component when you have some women who are angry that the relationship didn't work out or whatever, and they denied the father the chance to actually be the father. That has to be taken into account. Because, and that, you're not doing the best that you can do. And that doesn't work for those women who fall into that category. Because you're not doing the best that you can do, because you're holding anger in, and it's preventing this child from being able to have a relationship with his father. Now if there are some factors or some situations in that where the dude may have some real issues. Now if the dude got some real issues, that's a whole other thing. But if the mother is just not allowing the children to see the father because of something that she hasn't let go, that's a problem, and that has to be taken into account.
Right. It definitely does. It most definitely does. I don't know how big of a
percentage. Just to be fair.
Right. And I don't know how big of a percentage that is, but I know enough people going through that situation to say that it is a factor. And then you have the other component where you have women that are having children by men who physically just can't be there. Not saying that they're living with somebody else, but we're talking about men that are in prison or incarcerated for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
We can point out.
You're right. I've seen several situations. Like on a regular basis, I can see several situations. I can see the mother who wants the father to be in the life, but the father just is sorry ass. I've seen one when the father wants to be in the child's life, but the mother just being crazy. I've seen somewhere. Like you said, the guy's in prison, or I've even seen situations where the guy is married.
Right.
And that, you know, so that shouldn't even damn happen. That situation shouldn't even damn happen. And that's both parties are to blame for that.
Right.
And of course, like, the child is going to be the one who suffers from the fallout of that.
And then, of course, the very last angle is, it's just some sorry ass motherfuckers out there.
It really is. No, I mean it really is. Like both sides, men and women. Like I'm gonna be real. Like, and I think we have to start looking at this from an equal standpoint. It's some sorry ass men and women out here in this world. Like for real, it's some sorry ass people who have children and really don't understand that those are human beings. Like they treat them like toys and puppies, accessories and things.
That's where we get into the culture of sex, the culture of, you know, like, I'm cool with recreational sex and all of that. If that's what you do, if that's your thing, fine, get it how you live. But you should not be having sex with anybody that you just would not want a baby by. Like, you
shouldn't, even though I did it, but you shouldn't.
Of having a baby by this person, you should not have sex with them. And if you are unsure, you still shouldn't have sex with that person. Like, you should only be having sex with somebody if you're like, you know what, if I got pregnant by them, it definitely would not be intentional, but I would not kill myself because of it. And it's the same thing with dudes. Like, if you want to
trust me, I know.
Inside of some pussy, you need to consider what happens if 10 months from now something comes out of that
person. A baby come out. But see, it's like the mindset, because my mindset in that, I'm just like, and it's dumb as hell as I go back and I think about it. Like, it's stupid as hell. It's just like, you know, okay, I know I'm a good dude, but damn, I hope she don't be pregnant. Damn, I hope she don't be. Because the first thing, I don't want nobody to know I hit that. And that, now looking back on that, like, I will karate chop my 19-year-old self, like, right in the nose. Like, every time I see my 19-year-old self, I will karate chop myself in the nose for that mindset. But it's the culture. But once again, like we talked about before, like, we talked about the culture of rape. You cannot uphold the culture with just one part of the society. The culture is upheld by both parts of society, both the male and the female parts of the society. And we have to start looking at this when we're talking about these type of men that are being raised, going back to the original premise, like when it gets to the point to where women are raising these soft men, like all these factors go into these soft-ass men being raised, and then when that man turned 50, this man at the age of 50 is really still expecting you to do what his mama did for him at the age of 50.
Well, you know, and we talk about all the time, and this is something I'm going to continuously bring up until it catches on. We talk all the time about the emasculinization of the feminization of the black male, but nobody
right.
seems to really want to talk about the other side of the coin, the masculinization of the black female. If the black man is going soft, then just by nature,
she has
balance,
to harden.
The black woman has
right.
to harden. That's balance. That is going to happen. We aren't both going to be soft as shit. That's nature won't allow that. You know,
right,
so,
right. And
so
then,
if you got an issue with these soft-ass men, then we have to have an issue with these hard-ass women, and we also have to understand that a hard woman is going to raise a hard daughter and a soft son.
Right, right.
So then we get deeper into these cultural issues where we need to find balance, but at this point we need to find balance that's suitable to the type of next generation we're trying to create. That means we have to define a few things. We have to define womanhood. We have to define manhood. We have to define
right.
what it means
it
to
has
be,
to
an
be.
Adult.
Right, right. And it can't be rigid definitions that fit for the 1950s or 60s either. And we have
right.
to be able to look at it. We're in 2017, 2018, so our definitions have to be able to fit the time that we're in. And we have to always look at, like, I'm just be real, like, even, like, what we're talking about, like, the emasculation of a man. There are plenty of men who are homosexual men who would still, by definition, or even by the way they carry themselves, be considered a man's man, but, you know, who they sleep with is their business and thing. So, and that's just an example that I'm using when we're talking about the new definitions, because in some accounts, that man with that sexual orientation would be a better asset as far as rearing the kids than the man who's the heterosexual, because hell, the man who's the heterosexual don't even want to do this shit.
Right,
so it's just being able to look at different dynamics, even though I know some people would disagree with me in that, and that's, I'm not going to say that's across the board, but it also goes into looking at the individuality of people or the different whatever backgrounds that they come from.
Well, there is a necessity to look at masculinity apart from sexual preference. That has to be that, you know, like that, because your sexual preference
but,
is not any
right, now you're right.
on whether or not you're a man.
But you know the community.
I do.
So that's why we want to make that a point, because we got some dumb asses out there. So.
Well, you're right, and that goes back into another component of, you know, if we're talking about defining masculinity, would be this alpha male mantra where we want everybody to be an alpha male. Look, being an alpha male is a personality type. That also is not a critical component in whether or not you're a man or not. Like, I know plenty of better men out there who, yeah, they better, but I would still consider them men. They're still raising strong young men.
Right, they better.
They're
right.
not dominating. Just because they're not domineering, just because they don't demand control of a room, or they don't demand this, or they, just because they don't fit those sort of profiles of personality types, doesn't mean that they're not taking care of their business, taking care of their households, taking care of what needs to be taken care of, living life with integrity and honesty, going through, you know, doing their thing, pushing for a better world. All of those things, I think, are requirements for adulthood, period. But, you know, those are those things. We got to shed a couple things. Like,
we
personally,
do.
I think if we're going to define manhood, first thing we got to do is take everything that we think a man is now and just throw it all in the trash.
Now, I will say this. I do, even though I do think men and women should have a say into the definition of both manhood and womanhood, I do think that men need to be at the forefront of correcting and shaping men, and women need to be at the forefront of correcting and shaping women.
Of course.
I just because our experience, my experience as a man, does not render me viable enough to tell a woman how to truly be a woman. I just and it makes my skin crawl. I see men doing it more than women, so that's why I'm gonna say it like this. This is what personally I see. Make my damn skin crawl when I see men trying to tell a woman how to be a woman, and this is how you're supposed to be this, and because he's telling her how to be the type of woman that he wants her to be.
Right.
And we ain't raising no soft-ass women either. Like, we want our women to be nurturing. We want our women to be delicate and all these things. But they black women. They ain't soft. Black women kick ass, and they've been doing it from the beginning. And our black women are not going to stop doing that now. So we don't want no soft-ass women. But at the same time, we want our women to be women and our men to be men. And we just need to stay in our lanes.
Because I think most of the men that I've talked to, you want a woman that is soft at times. She has periods where she's soft. But as a whole, you just don't want no soft-ass chick on you.
You just don't.
Nobody in the community likes a soft motherfucker. Like, you just, and that's why,
right.
I think, that's really why I think the softness of the men is getting so much attention. Not only because men ain't supposed to be soft, but also because don't nobody like a soft motherfucker. But I do agree with you when you say, like, and you know that's been my shtick for a while. We need to get together and define manhood and womanhood. Women need to
mm-hmm.
provide what they need from a man.
Right.
So
right.
They say,
and we need to do the same thing.
Need this, this, and this. And men need to provide what they need from a woman. Okay. We need this, this, and this. And it's got to be strictly related to needs. We're not talking about wants.
Right.
Damn your wants.
Right.
What do you
right.
need?
Right.
And then you let
right.
them come up with the rest. Well, they say they need this, this, and this, so we'll make sure we give them this, this, and this, and we'll also give them this, this, and this on the side, and that, that, and that. I think they might like this. Let's
but,
ask them.
Alright, right.
But
one
yeah,
of the,
do that, but not too much.
Right.
Go ahead.
But you know, like we have to say, one of the main factors from these soft-ass men that are being raised is the lack of balance. But like one thing you hit on earlier too, like that lack of balance has led to where the son is taking the place of the man, and the son is like the unofficial boyfriend or man of the house, but that son has no idea what the hell he doing.
Right.
Like my brother even attempted that role, and it ate him up. It ate my brother up because that responsibility needs to be taught. Like, accountability and all those things need to be taught. Like, when I, as, and that's one of the reasons why I fuck with Sam Carter so hard, is getting around him, I was able to see what responsibility and accountability in those things truly was. Like, Turner also, Keith was one of the first, I'm not going to say one of the first, my pops was the first, but Keith was one of the early men early in life. Because we had a drill team that we was a part of. And at 7 or 8 years old, he was putting us in charge of the drill team. So accountability, responsibility, these things that men need. And you have to have a full understanding that those things have to be given to you in a manner that is not overwhelming. And it ate my brother up because he didn't understand it. And my brother's not the only one. A lot of black men crumble under that pressure of trying to be the man of the house, because you have no idea what it is to be a man, period. You have no idea what it takes to survive, what it takes to live. And we have to have capable, competent, strong, real men. Like, it pisses me off to see grown-ass men who act like little-ass boys, and then when I go off on their ass, they looking at me like I did something wrong. And I'm like, you acting like a bitch.
Well, Rule 5 in the PAC's code of conduct is levels to this shit.
Right.
And that applies to all things, including adulthood. manhood or being an adult female, you know, womanhood. You're a child before you're an adult so that you can be taught what you need to be taught in order to function successfully as an adult. You know what I'm saying? You have these different levels to everything so that you can gain the skills and the knowledge that you need to succeed at the next level. When you take a boy who is barely conscious of his own existence, when I'm talking about a lot of these 5 and 6 year olds that are the men of the house, they haven't even had a chance to be a child yet, let alone a son, a young adult, a young man. And you're kind of placing them in this role where, even if it's just a joke to you, think about what that's doing psychologically to that child, where you're telling him he's the man of the house. You know, you got other people telling, and they mean well, but they're telling him, man, you got to step up. You're the man of the house. You got to take care of this. You got to take care of that. You got to take care of this. And all of those people mean well. But think about what that does to the psyche of somebody who hasn't developed the life experience or the necessary support structures and understanding to really be able to handle that responsibility. Of course they're going to fold. They may not fold while they're a child, but at some point during their adult life, they're going to fold. It might not be a complete fold where they fall all the way down to the bottom, but they're going to crack. They're going to crumble. They're going to fold somewhat.
That's because that's unhealthy stress. That's unhealthy stress that's been placed upon them for so long. It actually took its toll on them.
And it's not their fault. Like, they didn't ask y'all to have sex and then to be here.
Right. Right.
Like, they didn't ask for whatever situation got daddy out of the house to transpire. They didn't ask for nothing. So if you find yourself in that situation as a single father, because I've also seen on the other end where single fathers will raise their daughters as if she is the woman of the house. And then she grows
right
up, she gets out of the
with
situation,
that attitude.
And the last thing she wants to do from then on is to be anybody's woman. Because her dad ruined her.
Because she's been in charge.
His drawers, and she got tired of cooking, and she got tired of this, and she got tired of that, and she just got tired. So now she ain't looking to do none of that shit because she ain't got to.
Yeah, because it's in his mind, he wants to do something different. Instead of like raising a competent human being, he wants to do something special. And these things, like those things really don't have to happen, but a lot of times those things happen when you still lack the balance. And it's still always going back to that lack, that masculine feminine balance that needs to be there. That's why the two entities are designed, or you have to have those two entities to create life. And those two entities are needed to nurture life as well. And we have to understand, but that's why I'm such a big advocate and educator on healthy relationships, like starting with healthy relationships from the beginning. But one of the most eye-opening things that I had to learn, even when I started doing these healthy relationship things, is, well, shit, so you just learned about this shit, so how do you expect everybody else to know about this? And that's what we're dealing with. We're working on getting more people to really see what's going on. We have to make sure that people really know, truly know what's happening around us and what has happened to us, and can we accurately articulate this information so we can create more healthy relationships and situations that can create more healthy relationships.
I do want to put this out here because I know somebody gonna hear it. I'm not saying that a woman's responsibilities are to cook and clean. I'm not saying that's the sole responsibilities of a woman, because I know I said that earlier, that's what fathers do to their daughters, and that is primarily what they do to their daughters. They have them cooking, they have them cleaning, they have them washing clothes, they have them cleaning the house. They have them doing all of the things that have traditionally been associated with female responsibilities in the house. And then the woman grows up and she doesn't want to be in any relationship with a man because she assumes that a man is going to expect that same thing. That's what I'm alluding to. But I will also say that the wonderful part of the world we live in today is the flexibilities that are allowed in relationships, especially when you keep your motherfucking business to your motherfucking self. you can find a man that don't mind cooking, cleaning, washing the dishes, washing the dog, washing you. You know, he's excited to do all that stuff, and all you got to do is wake up in the morning and rub the eye boogers out of your eyes. And you can find a man that'll do that. If you a woman that like to walk the dog, cut the grass, and take out the trash, you can find a man
who'll let you do that.
Excited to let your ass do all of that shit. And I think that's why I agree with when you said the definitions need to be flexible. They definitely do
it
nowadays
does.
Because socially we aren't as locked into the same paradigm. But I will say this. And it might be a little off topic, but I'm going to say it anyway. All you people out there who are demanding these old school views of your women, and I'm speaking specifically to the men, because just like when Shelly said the things she said to the women, it caught on because women can talk to women. I'm saying what I'm saying to the men because men can talk to men.
You talking about these men who trying to get these women's bullshit to submit to?
Yeah. You need to make...
Okay, yeah, I hate them, yeah.
If you're going to make a demand on your woman that she needs to behave basically like it's 1937, then you need to have your
shit together.
Motherfucker,
you better be a millionaire. You better be a goddamn multi-millionaire.
Right. You need
you better not have... Your credit score better be 900, bitch.
Look,
we
shouldn't even be talking about credit if you on that shit. You should have enough money where credit don't even matter. You ain't got no credit,
man.
You pay cash for everything.
But see, those dudes right there that piss me off because they're more into belief than reality. I give no fucks about what you believe and what your practice is. You know good and hell well you are not in the position to take care of no goddamn woman. So why are you expecting the woman to submit to you when you know good and hell well you can't take care of yourself? If you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of a woman. You can't take care of a family. You cannot ask a woman to submit to you when you know full and hell well where you at in life and you ain't happy where you at and you ain't taking care of your shit. You know full and hell well you can't ask somebody to submit. And you gonna ask, open your mouth and ask that question based off what you believe. I believe you's a bitch for asking that.
Well, that's where we get back in the whole conversation comes full circle to Shelly Shell saying we raising some soft-ass men.
Right.
Because we are. And that's, to me, that's just a soft-ass man. Like, you know you ain't doing what you supposed to do, but you're going
to
demand
that she
submits to you. Like, you, first off, if you got to demand that a woman do something for you...
you ain't talking about nothing.
You ain't taking care of your
You ain't talking about nothing. No. Right, she ain't. Look, when you provide a woman with a great space, you won't have to ask her to do certain things. Women are given like that. Women that just do things. So if you got to charge, as a matter of fact, it's past asking. If you have to demand your woman to submit, you ain't shit.
Look, if you feel like your woman don't respect you, if you feel like she don't treat you right,
if you
feel like she ain't doing whatever that you need her to do and you expect from. If you feel like that, before you look out at her, you need to look in at you and figure out, am I worth this sort of behavior? Have I done anything?
That should be the first question you should ask yourself before you even ask somebody to submit to you. First of all, what am I asking her to submit to? Am I worthy of this submission? Am I worthy of her damn time? As a man, I'm not even going to sit there and talk to you if I know I'm going to waste your goddamn time. That's just me personally, Joseph Ward. I don't like nobody wasting my time, so I ain't trying to waste your time. Am I worthy of your damn time from the beginning? If we do have something to get into a relationship, I'm supposed to give you something worthy to look at every day, something worthy to be around. So I'm giving you my damn best. If I'm not giving you my best, wasting your time, we don't need to be around each other.
But that's where you get back into these soft-ass men who are raised, in the words of Shelly Shell. That's what I call it because we grew up together.
I actually
introduced her to Obama. I didn't know he was a square back then, but, you know, it is what it is.
Anyway. He ain't no Barry. His name was, he said, Barry.
He was going by Barry where I was at. You know, he was going by OBOG, so I thought, you know, I'd be cool.
So you thought...
when I saw him around his people, and they was like, "Hey, Barry," he was like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" I was like, "Oh shit, okay."
Oh shit, yeah. Like you don't play craps. You ain't got no gold tooth or wave cap. Late.
So
him, he ain't on one wave cap.
But you know,
you should have asked him. Do he know what that Duke cream is? That Duke wave cream. He don't know what that is. He ain't real.
But you know, you go back to what Shelly Shell said when she said she wondered if we aren't raising men that have a sense of entitlement. And I don't wonder. I know we're raising men that
we
have
are.
A sense of entitlement.
We are.
We're raising men whose egos are way overinflated, whose self-esteem is super low, and they hide their low self-esteem behind these inflated egos. They too soft to really do self-introspect, self-reflection, because if they really looked at themselves honestly, it would destroy their lives and they would probably commit suicide or kill themselves. So you running into all of these situations where you have a man. Honestly, I think most of these dudes know they ain't shit. But instead of facing that and trying to do better, they find ways to escape and they find ways to project. So they'll project they ain't shitness onto their woman or onto their friends or onto the world, onto society, onto external situations that they don't have any power over so that they can say, I can't do shit about it. They hide behind, and I'm going to get back into this, and I know whatever, they hide behind recreational drug use, alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, crack, ecstasy, not cocaine and crack, I'm sorry, but ecstasy definitely, and all these new drugs Miles. They got coming out. You know, they hide behind all of these things so that they don't have to face the fact that I ain't shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's real, though. That's real. Like, because I'm not going to lie. Like, that's one of the things that I'm not going to say fear, but that's one of the things that I never want to wake up to the reality that I ain't shit. So I do my best to give my all and do my best to be my best. But I am happy that my mother and father knew that they themselves were the shit. They valued themselves, and even though their relationship didn't work out, they valued themselves enough, and they valued my brother and I enough to coexist in a healthy manner. And even if they did have this, because I've never seen my parents really have a real disagreement. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but I've never seen it. So they carried themselves in a manner that was healthy enough for my brother and I to not grow up as themselves, as dudes. And my father wanted to be there. My mother allowed him to be there. And their relationship, once again, was healthy. And then we had other healthy male influences. So I understand that everybody is not going to grow up in the same situation as I, but I also understand that it is possible to get your sons around men who are men that can teach them how to be men. And that is possible to do. And those are some things that happen. But also on the other end, men like you and I, we also have to be the ones who are willing to reach out as well, like getting to these communities and looking to help, to give a helping hand as well, because I think that's another part of us as we grow up, being able to not just waiting on somebody to look for us so we can give back, but we looking for going out and looking in the community to kids and families that we can give our time to.
Right, I agree with that. We definitely, I will say, and that's a whole nother show on parenting, but I do think the dynamic of, I think that's one of the benefits of being in a house with a man and woman is when they do disagree, you get to see what a real man and a real woman look like when they disagree. They not fighting, they not stabbing, they not beating each other up. They, you know what I'm saying? You get to see people, and that's provided you have parents, because I know a lot of people don't want to show their kids them disagreeing. I personally disagree with that logic. I think children should see what adults look like when they disagree.
Yeah, you should see.
But that's a whole nother show. But Joe, you know what? We running on time, and I feel like we didn't talk full circle on this issue unless we wanted to go even deeper.
I think we didn't hit from every angle that we could thought of, and I thought we was as fair as we could be.
That we could thought of.
Hey, man, I'm from the top. So.
Shout out to the boy Jamie. He's going through some JB, going through some real life situations right now. Dealing with his children. You know, he a father. So he doing his
right.
And we ain't gonna never
shout out to the real fathers. One time for the real fathers out there.
Anything above one your children. Even though one time for the fathers, I agree with you. Even though we do need to have a show on loneliness, because Shelly Shell cracked the joke at the end of her little thing at the summit, saying that black men needed, or not black men, period. She just said men. I'm going to insert black men. But she said men needed to go get them some damn friends and get them a life and stop being miserable. And that, it was a joke. Everybody laughed, but it does highlight something me and Joe were talking about earlier. Back in March of this year, there was a report came out, I think it was in the Times or the Boston Globe. Numerous layers of research have come to find that loneliness is, in fact, a mental health crisis for middle-aged American men. So, and me and Joe were talking about some of the numbers behind that earlier, the fact that loneliness can increase your risk of premature death by 25% to 30%. That's pretty freaking huge. And so that is something that maybe we need to have a show on at a later date. Men,
so
get your
I either need a friend or a girlfriend, huh? I need a girlfriend,
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it. I ain't ashamed to admit, sometimes I have my bouts of loneliness.
I took my shirt off.
I'd be lonely as shit.
So, I'm doing push-ups, ladies. I did two. I'm tired. No, just playing.
Breathing, how you supposed to be breathing like Eminem during the freestyle, bro?
Oh no, nah. Just hearing that audio don't sound right, so I ain't finna do that to myself.
Gotcha.
So, hey man, any tell them about your show, man. Tell them about your show.
Oh, Lessons from the Screen will be the very first episode. Will be coming out the 23rd of November. So everybody be tuned in. The 23rd of November, it will be up on the website at 12:01. That's the very first minute of the 23rd of November. And it should be up on iTunes and Google Play Music that exact same day. Oh, tell them about
going
the
down.
Show. So the show is basically we're gonna be reviewing documents, documentaries, whatever you can get through a screen. And since we get all of our information through screens nowadays, cell phones, televisions, computers, whatever, we're gonna be covering that. So we cover mostly documentaries, the first 4 or 5 shows, but we're also covering one current event, the Catalina situation. Is being covered. For those of you that don't know, look out for that show. We're going to break down what's going on in Catalina. They're trying to become their own nation. And Spain is basically like, nah, fuck that. So we're going to break that down and break down its relevance to the black community and things of that nature. And we do that for all of the things we look at. So that's the show. That's when it come out. On the host, Freedom Trade Network. Check it out.
Yeah. And upcoming shows that we have, Tea Time, Black Women Talk. We have that coming up. Remember, every Monday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, tune in to our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to see Office Hours with Professor Carlton Jones and Erica Tolbert. They go in and have strong conversations about issues within the black community.
Wow.
The Fix Sports Podcast. Every Monday on the Freedom Train Network, you can get the Fix Sports Podcast. And I'm going to do a shameless plug because I don't care. Make sure you get a copy of my books, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1, and On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 2. Both are shedding light on sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. Volume 1 is covering sung and unsung heroes of North America. Volume 2 is covering sung and unsung heroes of Central America. You can visit my website at www.ontheshoulders1.com to learn more about the sung and unsung heroes, because I have over 150 African profiles from people around the world, and you can get copies of my books. So Yeah, it is.
And make sure you get a copy of my books. They're both coming out. You can find them currently in the Ancestral Akashic Records. If you don't know how to get there, then, you know.
How long you got to meditate? How long you got to meditate to get there?
Well, you got to meditate for at least a good 6 months before you can get
there. Do we have to go through Atlantis?
Well, by the time
we pass by Atlantis.
No, I mean, you just sit down and let your mind wander for about 6 months, and you'll find it. And by the time you come out, you'll be able to log into Amazon and get the books from the Akashic Records.
I just helped you out. I started it. It is.
Don't open
hey, man. Right. Y'all know what it is, man. It's the Crypto Train Podcast Series. I am Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Urban. And as always, we do our best to make sure we give our community our best. Two fingers up like a player. Split them apart. We'll catch y'all next time.
I'm a stick. On the outside. What happened to Carmen?